So hi, everybody. This is Laura Cornell of Divine Feminine Yoga, and I'm here with Tracy Sage, my good friend Tracy Sage. And Tracy is a coach. Let me see if I can get this right. Tracy has Wild Spirit Yoga and Access Miracles Coaching. And I have known Tracy since 1998 when she first became a Kripalu yoga teacher and moved or was living in Davis, California, not too far from where I was, and we had a group of Northern California Kripalu yoga teachers. And so we have been buddies, and we were just checking in here on the phone before we started the recording that Tracy led pretty much her first retreat. It was with me and one other woman in 98. And so for many years, Tracy has focused on retreats, yoga retreats, and coaching. And those are really the areas that she is the strongest in now, is combining coaching with her yoga teaching. And I know that's something of interest to a lot of you in this course, how to combine doing coaching with your yoga passion and your love, and how to make it a business. And Tracy's very successful, such that when she received the recent guidance to move to Southern California from Oregon, where she was really able to up and do that because her life is so flexible. And to me, that is the ultimate in success, to be able to live where you want and have the freedom that you want. Along the way, Tracy has owned 3 yoga studios, so she has experience with what works there and what sometimes doesn't work. And I think it's going to be a real wealth of wisdom for us in breaking through some of the blocks that have held us back. And Tracy and I have a lot in common about spending years loving yoga, committed to yoga, and not always sure how to really, really make it work. And Tracy has really found her passion and her success with the combining the coaching and the retreat. So that's working really well for her. And I'm so excited to have Tracy here to share how she has made this work and what's going so well for her. So with no further ado, Tracy, it's great to have you.
Thank you so much, Laura. I'm delighted to be here. This is a wonderful reunion.
Yeah, and what I didn't say, so I'll just say, since I know you, I think of all the success interviews I've done, you're the one person that I know personally. Tracy has a beautiful heart, everyone. Tracy has a really loving spirit, and her business name, Wild Spirit Yoga, fits her very well. Another thing I'm remembering is that Tracy came to the first Green Yoga conference that I produced and co-directed in 2005, and she was one of the presenters. Am I right about that? You lit on the
yes.
moon salutation, yeah?
So,
yeah. So
yeah, and I think I even did a yoga and relationship coaching session while I was there at that retreat.
A private coaching session?
No, I led a group on the topic of relationship and yoga.
Oh, I didn't remember that. Wow.
Yeah.
So where would you like to start, Tracy? Would you like to start about, why don't we just jump right into what is it like for you to combine coaching with yoga? Why don't we just get right into that piece?
Great. And the question you had asked, you had said, and how did I get started? I'd love to start with that.
Great.
To share my story a little bit first.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Yeah, because it's so, because I started so young. So my story starts at 2 years old.
Okay.
So that's when I knew what my mission was, and it's just amazing how it all came together. But at 2 years old, I noticed that my mother and grandmother loved each other, and they fought all the time.
Wow.
And I knew there was a better way. Mm-hmm. And I was very aware of that, and I knew that I was going to find it.
Wow.
And that was so... From that time on, I knew that my mission in life was about love and relationship, and that's where the coaching came out of.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to college, I was a dancer, a dance math major actually, but I was a dancer in college, and I had a knee injury,
mm-hmm.
and I was told that it required surgery to be corrected. I had a pretty serious knee injury as a dancer. And there was one of my classmates was had just become a Kripalu yoga teacher. Mm-hmm. And I was in his first class. His first 8-week class, just like they taught us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I began my yoga, and I began to use it to heal my knee,
mm-hmm.
and discovered that the healing for me was helping me heal from an abusive childhood and a multitude of health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got into Kripalu yoga, and once I realized that I could heal on all levels, I was committing to doing whatever it took.
Yeah.
And my personal practice started then at the age of 21. I called it morning rituals.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah. So that's where it all began for me. And when I came to Kripalu yoga, it was my path because it's such a path of love. It's all about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it fit right in with everything, and that's why for me the yoga and the coaching are really inseparable.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you say what is it like to combine them, what's wonderful about that for me is that so when I'm doing, when I'm teaching yoga or I'm leading retreats, mm-hmm. I also include my specialty of working through the emotional and mental limitations that lead to breakthroughs and miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly I work with, I emphasize connecting deeply with ourselves and each other,
mm-hmm.
and with something greater. So it's like that connection piece of really loving ourselves and being able to receive love in our lives and to give love in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So that
yeah.
comes into my yoga teaching in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other thing is that the coaching for me is yoga. It's really I'm sharing, as a coach, I'm sharing practices. I give my clients practices that like life practices, and I'm very much focused on that, giving them practices and tools that they can use to transform their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's paint a picture of what your life looks right now. I know you had the freedom to move when you received the guidance
mm-hmm.
to do that. Like, what does a typical week look like? How many clients are you working with? I believe a lot of them are on the phone. How much of your time would be preparing for retreats? You do a couple of retreats a year, I think. Maybe you want to just talk about what your schedule looks like, what on a practical
mm-hmm.
level you're doing.
My schedule, yeah, my schedule is actually ever changing, and right now I'm in a huge shift in my business, so it's not very typical right now. So I'm going to give you more of what's typical.
Okay.
So what's typical for me is that I'm doing several retreats a year. I would say like 4 retreats a year,
mm-hmm.
and that I have coaching clients on the phone for the most part, and.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also do some in-person work, because I work with couples. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm working with couples, I'm doing that in person a
okay.
lot of the time.
And your retreats, are those, I know you have one that's in Mexico. Are your retreats all over the world? Where are your retreats and how long are
mm-hmm.
they? And how
yeah.
do you find them? How did you get started with retreats?
Well, really, I got started at that retreat with you originally. That was my first one, and that's when I knew it was my gift and my calling to do retreats like that. That's really I'm very strong about personal practice, and immersing, like personal practice was how I got started, and it transformed my life, and so very strong on that. And so giving people retreats allows me to take them. To that experience of what their life could be like if they had a regular practice, like how much can shift just
mm-hmm.
by doing that. So I actually love to, to do retreats where I actually even control the food and everything because I want to give them the experience, like what I've discovered about how fabulous you can really feel, like what's
mm-hmm.
possible here. And so that's my love of retreats. And so yeah, I do retreats in California, Oregon, Maine, Mexico. I also taught in Italy when I was there. And now I've been invited to Bali and Brazil and France and Italy again, where they want a teacher training. So, you know, so I'm definitely expanding where I teach. One of my main retreats has been, one of the longest ones has been my Mexico retreat, which is at Maya Tulum, a very famous retreat place down in the Yucatan of Mexico. And I was blessed to get down there early on, you know, 11 years ago. And, yeah, made a great connection with the woman who was managing it. I'm still friends with her, actually. And so I was able to get a really good week at a really, you know, yeah, great slot, because you keep your same week. And so I've been teaching that for 11 years. And now I co-teach it with Deborah McKnight Higgins. Mm-hmm. And, but that retreat has been a wonderful, it's that place for me is the standard by which I choose my retreat, where I'm going to teach retreats, where I'm going to lead retreats.
Mm-hmm.
And, because it's like, so my retreats are very magical and transformational, and they always, I usually include a nature or water element.
Right.
Almost always has a water element.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm doing that emotional, deep emotional work in the retreats, and I want the place to hold a container that supports the work that we're doing in the retreat itself.
Mm-hmm.
If that
Great.
Makes sense. Does that make sense?
That does make a lot of sense. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that place down there holds a really great container. And so that's one of the reasons I've been going there. And down there, I go for, it's a week-long retreat down there. And then a lot of my retreats in the U.S. are, I do a lot of weekend retreats. And I'm adding in more week-longs and a yoga teacher training now, too. So that's going to be 3 weeks long.
Mm-hmm. And how do people find your retreats, and where do they come from, and how do they find you, Tracy?
A number of different ways. The way that most of my clients find me has been really from my public activity. So, for example, teaching at the Green Yoga Conference, right? Or in teaching at Kripalu, I taught the Kripalu Yoga Teachers Conference, or anywhere that I'm teaching or presenting or serving or sharing my gifts in public. That's where people meet me. Like, even, you know, I worked at an herb shop up in Southern Oregon, and you know, I did that maybe 1 or 2 days a week, but still, it's like people would meet me and you'd be like, what do you do? Like, I want to do something with you, you know, and they'd ask me. And so then I tell them, and I, you know, I carry my brochures with me for the retreats. And, you know, if they're interested in yoga, I give them one of those. And so that's one of the ways that people find me. Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, I really get that I need to move much more into an online presence. And that's not what I've done in the past. What I've done in the past has been really, it's really my public activity. And then I've cultivated a really devoted clientele. So my students and my coaching clients often, they do both. Like my coaching clients will become yoga students and my yoga students become coaching clients. And then I also have a lot of repeats. So like so the retreat this year in Tulum was more than half repeats.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really wonderful. And how many spots do you have at that retreat?
That retreat this year, I had 24 people.
Mm-hmm. And more than half of them had come another year before.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I would say about 10 of them have come on that retreat 5 times.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, and are committed to coming. I mean, many of them, probably that same 10, are committed to coming every year for the rest of their life if I do it that long. Yeah.
Wow. That's
yeah.
Phenomenal.
So that's the kind of commitment that my students make. Yeah.
Wow. And the people who come there mostly are yoga practitioners, not teachers, right? Or some teachers?
I get both. I get everything from beginning students to teachers in my retreats. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's so interesting because so let's say that you're at a conference like the Green Yoga Conference and somebody would come up to you and say, wow, I love that. Do you make an offer at the end of your, like when you led on the moon citation? I think you were on the deck. Is that right? You were on that beautiful deck.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say, I have my brochures here and I lead a retreat in Tulum? Or do you not even say that and just if people come up to you, you mention it?
Yeah, I have to say I fail miserably at remembering to market my stuff.
Okay.
So luckily what I finally started doing was just making sure that I had brochures or flyers with me all the time so that at least you know and I would start to try to remember to put them out by my yoga mat when I was teaching so
mm-hmm.
that at least I'd remember to
mm-hmm.
offer it up. So sometimes I remember and sometimes I don't. And so it's just,
mm-hmm.
it's usually a matter of, you know, like, yeah, people come up and then I, and they come up to talk to me and then I give them something. So yeah, more like that.
That's a great tip because, gosh, I was at Harbin recently. I don't know if you know Harbin Hot Springs in Northern California.
I do.
And the yoga teacher was absent. And so I offered to teach the class and I taught the class and several people came up and told me how much they'd loved the class. In fact, the whole weekend after that, I had people, because it was a pretty full class. And I didn't have a brochure. I didn't have any other way for them to follow up with me. And so, I mean, that's a brilliant idea, Tracy, if you're somebody who doesn't, you know, just to remember to carry your materials with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I have gotten better about that. It's it does. It makes a real difference. And so luckily, you know, and I've learned, one of the things I've learned about that is that, you know, the flyers are awkward to carry. So that doesn't work so well. So what I have started doing was making either brochures or postcards that
right.
have what I do on them. And that's been a lot better for me because then I can hand somebody something that's small enough but also has
sure.
enough information on it. Yeah.
Sure. Or do you collect emails? Because I know you and I talked about
mm-hmm.
it, we'll probably get into this, you and I have both been studying, you know, methods of reaching more people and being more powerful in business and marketing. Do you gather emails now or did you or have you never done that?
Yes, so again what I started doing when I started putting out the flyers by my mat was I also have a clipboard with a mailing list sign up sheet on it that I made online. You know, I made myself a little form and so they can actually check which, because I do different things, you know, the coaching and the, you know, and they can check what they're interested in on there. And so I actually do have that. The problem with that for me is I haven't been good about following up. If a person was really good about following up on those things, then that would work really well.
But even having a clipboard there is brilliant, and then they can check if they're interested in a retreats or coaching, those are, which are the
exactly.
main
so I specify, you know, options. I give them options, and they can tell me, you know, are they interested in relationship work? Are they interested in coaching? Are they interested in retreats? You know, I have the different things that I do on there, and they can
mm-hmm.
check off whatever they're interested in. So that way, I mean, my concern was I hate getting too many emails because I'm not an online person, so I try to keep my inbox very small. So
mm-hmm.
I don't want to send people something that they don't want, so that I wanted to make sure that I had the categories clear so that they
mm-hmm.
could choose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like one of your keys to success has been teaching such a good good retreats and being such a vibrant mm-hmm. presence, that which is one of the things that I think is so powerful about you and that I have taught in this Thriving Yoga Teacher program, is to kind of be that Lakshmi energy, that radiant energy that people are naturally attracted to, that
mm-hmm.
gets people to ask you what you do, but also in your retreat to offer such powerful content that
yeah.
it's not boring to come a second time, but that people know they're going to go deeper.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the thing, is my retreats are, I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say that everyone on my retreat has a transformational experience, including us as teachers,
mm-hmm.
on every retreat. It's like, you know, they're magical and transformational, and that's how I've designed them. And I started that at a very, you know, early, because it's, you know, that's my nature, to go deep. And my specialty is so much about working through emotional and mental limitations that lead to breakthroughs and miracles. So on all levels, you know, so money miracles, relationship miracles, body and health miracles. Yeah. So that's what I'm really, really good at. And so people, you know, like, cause, you know, maybe one year they come and they have a body and health miracle, and then the next year they're there for a relationship miracle.
Right.
You know, or, you know, or even, I mean, one of the big ones is showing up in their lives in whatever way. So their career, their creativity. I've had writers and artists really have big shifts, like where they always had this dream to be published, and they come to my retreat, and they're able to, then a lot of times they come to my retreat and then they become a coaching client, and then they're able to get published.
So Tracy, what advice would you have for a new teacher who might know they want to do a retreat and might look at, you know, you now with 14 years of teaching experience or more and having very successful retreats at the very beginning? How do you know when you're ready to lead a retreat? And how do you get students to come to the very first one if you have a very small reach so far?
That's a great question. I'm trying to think how to answer it. I would say, so I guess I'll just have to speak about my experience, because I bet there's a lot of paths that you could take there. And what has worked for me, you really nailed it. So what's worked for me is that my keys to success are that I have a really strong personal commitment to self-love and to being the change, making a difference in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking my talk. I'm being an example. I'm teaching and coaching from my living practices.
Mm-hmm.
And just by doing that, people are like, you know, people are like, I want more of that. Like, I want to live like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, it's really easy for me to be like, immerse yourself in a retreat. That's the way to go. That's your next step. I mean, it's like I encourage people. I'm like, you know, I don't ask my students to invest in anything that I'm not investing in myself. I go to a lot of retreats. I go, it's like I have my own coaches and I go to retreats. I'm big on doing retreats.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only marketing things or asking my students and clients to invest in things that I'm investing in big time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, so really it's like it's all coming straight out of my life. I don't ask them to do anything else. And I think that's one of the keys to my successes in the retreats. The other thing for me is that, you know, for me it's like really taking that coaching right into my retreats. I'm actually developing my yoga teacher training and teaching people how to do that is one of my keys, because it's like, you know, teaching people how to lead these really deep, you know, these magical and transformational retreats successfully is one of the things that I really think I can do. But I don't know that I can do that in the answer to one question. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think what else I could give that would be of value in terms of that. I guess I would say it's like have a mentor. Find somebody that you know that leads, you know, that leads. I mean, really, I'm a believer of the kind of the mastery path of really when I want to know something, I find who's the master at it, and then I learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I do everything. I learned how to do retreats from going to Kripalu, from doing so many trainings at Kripalu, and really, you know, gathering my, like, and gathering a sense of what the flow of a retreat is and how to enhance each piece of the natural flow, the natural journey,
mm-hmm.
with what I'm leading. And so I've really developed that. I think that's really my, you know, kind of my signature, is that I've developed that
mm-hmm.
a lot. Yeah.
So if you want to lead retreats, go to retreats.
Yeah.
That's good.
Really. Really. And, you know, and then when you find people who you're like, whoa, this is really good, then go to more of them and, mm-hmm. you know, and see if you can take that person on as a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Well, let's talk a little bit about the coaching and that aspect of your business. I know, is it that when you are at a retreat that some of those people sign up for continued coaching with you, and how does that work? Or do you get out, reach clients in other ways?
Yeah. So just like I was saying that, at the retreats, people some of my, when I'm doing the retreats, I offer for a week-long retreat, I'll offer some private coaching. On weekends, I don't do this, but on week-long retreats, I offer three of the days, I offer a couple coaching sessions a day. Private sessions a day, so they can work with me, and that way. And a lot of times, people will work with me, and then once they have one coaching session, then they sign up for my 6-month program, and they'll work with me then for 6 months. So that's one way that that the coaching.
And that would be an extra fee at the retreat to have that.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I do charge for those sessions.
Okay.
And then. The other thing that I do, and sometimes sometimes I'm doing private yoga sessions with them, but again, it's all yoga to me. So the coaching comes into that, and they get a taste of coaching, and then they want to move further with it. So that happens too. And then the other way is by doing public presentations. I recently gave a talk. And it was so funny because I gave this talk and it was on relationship, it was a really fun, juicy talk that I was giving, and I had only 3 people in attendance, but all 3 wanted to continue to work with me, and one of them came and did a private session with me immediately and then signed up for 6 months of coaching. So that's kind of how my coaching clients come to me.
Okay. And I know when you're doing this, well, you and I talked before we started the recording that you've been studying with Bill Barron, who's a mentor, and I've also studied with him the enrollment process. And he suggests a complimentary first session, which is one way to go. I know some people with yoga will do their first private yoga or private coaching where it's paid, and some people will do free. What are you finding is working for you? Like, for example, after you gave this talk, are you doing the first enrollment conversation as a complimentary session, or is that just paid from the beginning? What's working
for you? I have tried the complimentary, and what I've found is that I think it really depends on how you do them, but the way I do them, people feel so satisfied after that one, like if they didn't pay for it, and they feel, they think that that's all there is kind of what has happened. And so I've realized that I want to know that the person who's coming to me is willing to invest in themselves, and they're going to get a lot more out of that session in terms of like they're actually going to take it into the rest of their lives. And they also get a much better sense of like what it would be to integrate it into their whole lives, like to actually do 6 months with me. So I find that the ones that pay are the ones that stay.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So that's been my experience, and I have certainly tried both. I've done a lot of free coaching that where people were like, oh my God, that was awesome. And that's where it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And again, I know that there's other coaches, lots of other coaches who do the complimentary coaching sessions with great enrollment success. That just hasn't been mine. That just hasn't been my path.
Okay. Yeah, everybody has to figure out what works for them, and my husband does it that way, the way that you're describing. So, although he's a neurologist, so people expect to pay for help there. That's an aside, but I think that it's right. Everyone needs to experiment with both ways and see what really works with your integrity and with what, I found that I was able for myself to have a lot more commitment if the first session was complimentary. But I totally, totally get what you're saying, that for you it's working better and you're getting a higher level of client. And I was looking on your website, which I know you said has been down for a while and is about to come back online. We can tell people it's wildspirityoga.net. So if anybody's listening to this right after the recording is released and it's not up, it'll be up really, really soon, or totally vibrant and alive really, really soon. But there is some stuff at wildspirityoga.net, even as of today. And, you know, this gets into the whole money question. I don't know if you want to talk about, you know, how you've dealt with money or charging or how that's been for you or your growth in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had a lot of growth in that area. At this point, you know, it's like I've been, you know, it's like one of the things I noticed was that as I've raised my prices to where they really need to be, to what really feels right,
mm-hmm.
I'm also getting more committed clients.
Yeah.
So that's one of the pieces, and you know, and as I say, it's like that charging for that first session is I really like it. Even if I only charge a little bit for the first session, I actually have gotten to the point where I'm just full on charging like $250 for an initial session with me at this point. And so that's, you know, about what they pay when they come to me regularly. So yeah, I think that again it's feeling it out for yourself, and just, you know, finding what feels right, and also check, you know, seeing what feels right to your clients. And what I want to say about that is that it's so important that we, like, that key, that commitment to self-love, and part of that commitment to self-love is being willing to invest in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that piece for me is really key. And what I've noticed is that the people who are willing to invest in themselves really do gain more out of the kind of coaching that I do, which is very deep. It's like they have to be willing to make a pretty big commitment. And so what I've noticed is I have to charge enough. Mm-hmm. If I don't charge enough, they can go along and do that and not get nearly as much out of the coaching because they're not as invested.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that. And one of the things I do, though, which I love, is that I work with people. So if I have someone who comes to me and I can feel that they really want to work with me and they really want to do this, and money is really a challenge for them,
yeah,
I will work with them. And this is what I tell them. I say, what I want for you is that this is a stretch for you. It's not an easy pay. It's a stretch for you so that, you know, you have that level of commitment, that you're willing to invest in yourself and you're willing to stretch yourself to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask them, what is that amount for you? And I'm willing to start there. And what happens is anybody who works with me, their money flow increases. So it's like that's one of the things that just seems to be a benefit, whether it's what they're focused on or not, it's a benefit of working with me. And so I tell them, and your money flow will very likely increase, because it does for almost everybody I work with. And as it does, I want to increase that amount until you get up to my rate.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So I love that because it feels really an integrity, and it also doesn't keep people from working with me who really have that kind of commitment and just aren't at that level yet.
So when you ask people to commit, people do an initial session with you and then you ask them to commit for 6 months, is that there's a set amount per month, or you do two sessions per month, or is it what they need, whatever they need is what they're going to get? How does that work?
I do three sessions a month. Three 45-minute sessions a month is what I do. And then for 6 months at least, and then they can go month to month after that. But I ask them for a six-month commitment because I've also seen that the people who stay with me for 6 months or more, that 6 months is about when they've actually integrated the work into their day-to-day lives so that they can actually it will continue. What I've seen is that when people stop too soon, their lives may have transformed, but if they stop too soon, it kind of, it's like they fall off the edge sometimes. In fact, a lot of time they do. Then they kind of regress back into old patterns. And so I've seen that 6 months is really kind of a magic number where I can pretty much count. I can know that they've integrated enough of it that their life will be much better, much improved. And I feel sad when someone works with me for too short a time. I used to only have a 3-month commitment, and I did have a few clients who quit too soon, and then they kind of lost what they'd gained, is what it seemed like. And kind of went back to what, same old, and so I felt sad about that.
So how do you know that? Do you follow up with them later and find out, or how do you find that out?
Well, as I say, a lot of times my coaching clients are also my retreat participants.
Oh,
and so
retreat. Wow, what a close family. It all feeds in. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it's really beautiful, and it's really amazing because I do stay connected, and then I have a lot of repeat clients. So even I have coaching clients who work with me, and then they quit, and then they'll get, reach another obstacle in their life or another challenging time in their life, and they'll call me again.
That's great. And how many would you have at any one time? Do you have 10 clients at a time?
And right now it's like I'm doing more group work, so I'm having, less clients. But, yeah, like 10 to 12.
That's beautiful.
But now I'm having less one-on-ones and more focusing more on coaches training and teacher training and group tele classes and that kind of thing. So
do you
everything I'm in a big transition right now.
Yeah, we talked about that. Do you want to just briefly touch on your experiences with owning a yoga studio and maybe one or two highlights of what you learned from that?
Oh, sure. So that was quite a journey. The big thing that I learned from that is that running a yoga studio is not my joy. I actually am very capable, and I was doing it because I was capable, and a lot of the other yoga teachers weren't, and I wanted to create a space for us all to teach.
Sure.
And so I actually So my first yoga studio was pretty much almost right out of Kripalu. I had it when we did our retreat back there in 98. And I was a newbie, and so that was quite a learning experience. And my big mistake there was that I had a yoga studio and an herb shop, and that I would have actually probably have done fine, except that I spent too much money on inventory.
Okay.
And so I just spent too much money and couldn't make it back fast enough. And I didn't have extra money sitting around. Like once I opened, I pretty much had to make money from there because I had no money sitting around to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the things when I opened my second one, which was successful, I knew two things. I wanted to have a partner so that I didn't have to do all the work of because in the beginning it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I wanted to have a partner so that we could share some of the responsibilities and the parts that I didn't really love about keeping up a yoga studio, especially because I'm not an online person.
Mm-hmm.
So having a partner was really important to me for the second one, and having enough money up front to keep the studio going until it could run on its own. And that really worked.
How did you get that money?
My partner.
Okay.
So I had a partner with money. And that worked really well. And I had that studio up and running and successful, like starting to pay me in 10 months.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So that was my successful one. And then what happened was the partner that I had who had put up the money decided that she really wanted the studio to be hers.
Ooh,
and she didn't really want to have a partner. now that it was all up and running and doing great.
Wow, all the sweat equity,
And so, she had just gone through a divorce of her marriage, and she said, and now I'm divorcing you. And so what that left was I had already invited in a bunch of yoga teachers who needed a place to teach. There was no place to teach in that town.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, that was Grants Pass, Oregon, and there was no other yoga studios. This was the first studio in Grants Pass, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had attracted these teachers, and I had, in that 10 months, I had introduced a community to yoga that wasn't used to, that was new to yoga.
You did a lot of work for that studio, yeah.
But they were having, you know, so here are all these new students who are having incredible changes in their lives. I couldn't not continue.
Okay.
So the third one, I knew doing.
So what happened? What was the outcome? Did she divorce you? Did you leave?
Yeah, she divorced me. So and then I opened another studio in the same town.
This is really interesting because people sometimes, I'm just slowing you down here a little bit, Tracy, because sometimes people ask me about partnerships and going into business with a partner. In fact, I know a couple of people in this program who are doing that.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm wondering, how did that work? Did she buy out your sweat equity? Did you realize that you had everything in place that you needed in advance? Do you wish you would have had clearer agreements in advance? What was the outcome of that desire for a divorce?
Yeah, okay. So this was big because one of the things, I'm a very trusting person and I do a lot. I've done a lot of verbal agreements. And I did ask for a contract, but she was in the middle of a divorce in her marriage. And so she kept putting me off to writing a contract between us. So we didn't have a written contract.
Okay.
And I basically did all the work to make that studio go because I had already done it before and she had never had a studio before. And so, we ended up, she basically, you know, just said, okay, you know, the lease is in my name. You're out of here. And so I found another place and, you know, moved to another place for the sake of the students and the teachers because I felt committed to them. I felt in service of them. And even though I knew I didn't want to open another studio at that point, I was like, I've had my successful one. I'm done, you know. And I didn't feel like I could leave these people hanging, so I did do it again, even though the conditions weren't the conditions that I knew I needed. So my mistake there was that I didn't have a contract.
A written agreement.
Mm-hmm. A written agreement. Because I knew better. I knew that you need to have a written agreement. My first one I did, I had some backers, and we had written agreements, and it was really good that we did, because it didn't last more. It lasted about a year, I think, that one.
Mm-hmm.
But it all settled out really well because we were really clear on the agreements before we got there.
And the most important part thing to have an agreement, which we always forget in advance, and I've been guilty of this as well, is what will happen if somebody wants to leave, or basically how to end the relationship.
Which I had that advice in the first one.
We never think we're going to end it. When we start something, you never think it will end, but always knowing, so that's really a hard
thing. No, I knew it would end because I knew I didn't want to. I knew that I didn't want to run it for very long. There was no place else to teach. The reason I opened that second yoga studio was because there was no place to teach.
So what happened with the third one, the one in Grants Pass that you opened after that one with the partner? Is that still going? Or
the second one was still going up until about a year ago. I think she just closed it. The third one that I opened, I went bankrupt on, and that was not surprising to me. I knew because now that I'd done it and failed, and I'd done it and it succeeded, and I knew what it would take to succeed, and I knew that I was really, you know, it's like I was it was a poor risk. I knew it was really going to be challenging to even keep it going, but I was just committed to doing it for as long as I could do it for the sake of those yoga teachers and those yoga students.
Wow.
And so I did it until it broke me. I mean, it basically, I was physically exhausted and financially exhausted by the end of that. So that was a really hard, journey. It was a very beautiful studio, I have to say, and great students, but it was a really hard, journey. Because, you know, I just opened the very first studio in that town, and now I'm opening a second one, you know, 10 months later, right?
Mm-hmm.
So so now we neither one of them. Luckily, she had a settlement from her divorce, so she was able to. She had millions to put into it and keep hers running. I did not have that position, so. Neither one of them was succeeding financially after we split, because now you've got two studios in the same town, two new studios in the same town, and we're both having to pay basically, you know, double the rent.
That's really too bad.
Yeah. So it was a sad thing. And, you know, I was so grateful I did it, because those students, I mean, like those people, I mean, it changed their lives. It changed their lives.
Yeah.
It touched a lot of lives. Made a lot of difference. And it also helped a lot of yoga teachers and belly dancers, which I also had at my studio, were belly dancers, and helped them to get out in the world in a way that they wouldn't have otherwise. So.
And you gained a lot of, I hate to say this, battle scars, but also learning and strength.
Yeah.
From it, and an understanding of just how serious business is, and to really,
and what I'm willing to do and what I'm not.
Yeah, and what your
now
kids
I have
are.
Now I have the flexible life. I mean, you know, it's like I like flexibility, and I like traveling, and I like retreats. And you, running a business like a yoga studio, it takes that out of you. I mean, it's like I couldn't travel all the time.
Yeah.
Now I can go anywhere because my students are on phone. I mean, my clients are phone and Skype. Right, all over the world, I can go anywhere that I can have it, as long as I have a phone or an internet access. So I have a whole different, you know, I have the flexibility that I like in my life. I don't like being tied to a studio.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've really found a way to hone in on your unique genius and your passion, and really. Grow that piece, you know, the retreats and the coaching. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is one of the things I love, and then we can just probably complete, but learning from our failures, something that looks like a failure, and this is something that I certainly have found in my own life, where I did well and where I failed, apparently, and what can I learn from that I take into the next thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, and learning from our challenges, I mean, my coaching and my yoga both come out of a really hard childhood.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, this is like, you know, it's like I wouldn't have wished that childhood on anyone, right? And I have no regrets. I'm grateful for it, because it gave me all my strengths.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me the strength to navigate that yoga studio challenge. It's like I knew that I was capable of overcoming hardship.
Mm-hmm.
I had complete confidence that I would get through it, and I don't know that I would have had that if I hadn't had the background that I had.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to share that we haven't touched on?
I'd love to share a little piece about this, because we talked about it earlier, about the whole marketing piece and
sure,
kind of
yeah.
like, so my big challenges in where I am now is that I'm doing well and growing, and a year ago I made a commitment to this marketing piece to do whatever it takes to reach more people and touch more lives, because I just wasn't reaching as many people as I would like to reach with, you know, and I have this strong calling and mission. I want everyone to feel as loved and adored as I do. And I want children to grow up and living in love, you know, surrounded by adults who know how to love themselves and each other.
Yeah.
And to have meaningful connections and life-enhancing relationships.
Yeah.
So I've got this commitment to this big, you know, change I want to see in the world.
Yeah.
And I need to reach way more people.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, really made this commitment to doing what it takes, and I'm now currently developing my online presence, which is going to change a lot in the next few weeks and coming months. And then stepping out to do bigger things like my yoga teacher training and my coaches trainings. So, you know, so I'm really expanding in that way. But one of the challenges for me is that I now need a team. whereas I was able to get by doing it myself, not to say that I was doing such a great job, but with those marketing logistics and administrative pieces that are really neither my joy nor my expertise. Now I need a team. And I don't, honestly, I don't know who I need to hire because I'm not even that clear on the job descriptions because it's not really my strength. You know what I mean? So I just want to, you know, put on the table that this is my challenge in my business right now. And, you know, that there's always, we're always evolving and growing, and our business is just like we are as people, and that there will always be these, you know, these new frontiers, you know, in our evolution.
Yeah, and I just want to say for everyone listening, before we got on the call, Tracy and I were talking a lot about our personal growth and our business growth, and I happen to know, I hope it's okay to say this, Tracy, I'm assuming that it is, that Tracy, in addition to being a great coach, has also hired a great mentor, and we both believe, and I think all of you know, that I have a really powerful mentor who's helped me grow, and the Tracy has hired a really good mentor to help her grow, and that's really what it takes to step up to the next level.
Yeah.
And you're doing it, Tracy, so...
Yay, thank you.
to seeing what comes.
It's so delightful.
Yeah.
So I have something I would love to share with people if it's all right with you that I'm really an upcoming retreat that I'm so excited to share because it's about this yoga and coaching.
Mhm.
And so it's called Answering Your Spirit's Calling, Teaching. Touching this world in the way that only you can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a life-changing retreat with a magical blend of yoga and coaching. So it's really, it's the first time that I'm actually really, like, fully on the table about that it's yoga and coaching. Because it always is for me. But this one is really about people who want to do, who are interested in both and know it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about people who are like, ooh, you know, I do yoga and I would love to learn more about coaching, you know, or I love, it's kind of like I'm launching these trainings. And so it's like the introduction for people who might want to consider, you know, either they're yoga teachers and they're considering coaching or they're coaches and they're considering yoga to add to that.
Cool.
So that's my big plug, my big excitement right now is that I'm going to be doing.
So can people get in touch with you through your website, through the wildspirityoga.net?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way, or my phone number, which is also on my website. Yeah.
You want to give your phone number?
Sure. It's 541-479-5128.
541-479-5128.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you, Tracy, so much for being with us and sharing your passion. It's
in
every moment of your voice. It really is.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's fun. I love my life. Yeah.
That's so good.
Thank you. Thank you so much for giving me a chance to share all this because it's like... It is my passion, and I want to see as many yoga teachers out there in the world, you know, making a difference.
Yeah.
And succeeding at that, and, you know, making a difference for themselves and all the lives that they touch.
Beautiful. It's really beautiful. Okay, well, we'll talk soon, and blessings to everyone. Thank you so much, Tracy, for being with us. Namaste.
Namaste.